The sermon this morning is based on the reading from Philippians chapter 3. To start, I reread a few of the verses, starting at verse 7. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We remember the situation in which Paul wrote this letter. He was in prison. And even 2 weeks ago, we noted in the sermon that he said to the people he wrote, the Christians in Philippi, he said, this is not for nothing. This is my being in chains. Something good is happening. He says, all the Praetorian Guard, the Imperial Guard, are even hearing about me, why I am here for Christ. In his very imprisonment, he was a witness for Christ. So that's a situation in which he is. And he also found it wasn't just an imprisonment for a while. But when Paul wrote this, he says he wasn't sure if he would die or not. He might be put to death. He might not. It was unsure. So not only was he in prison, but he might be executed. There were also threats against the people he was writing, the Christians in Philippi. So by the time Paul is writing this, it's really starting to be seen that the Christians, the followers of Jesus, the disciples of Jesus, they weren't Jews. Many of them were Jews, but they had a different religion than the Jews. They had the Messiah. They were following him. They did not have to worship at the temple anymore. They did not have to do the sacrifices anymore. They did not have to follow the food laws and circumcision laws anymore. They were different. And the Jews were given exception and permission by Jesus' time and before Jesus' time to follow their faith of the Old Testament and to worship only God, not to burn incense to the emperor, not to go through the religions of the Roman Empire. They had permission to do that. But when it became seen that the Christians and the Jews were different, then the government started coming down on the Christians. Then they started getting in trouble. And this was starting to happen in Philippi at this time. There was starting to be pressure on the Christians there. So Paul is in prison, not knowing if he's going to be executed or not for being a Christian. And the people he's writing to, they're struggling with some internal struggles and strifes, but they're also having pressure put on them. It's not like I'm in trouble and you're not. No, they are facing trouble too. And this is the situation in which he writes this letter. Now, Paul makes this comparison here of his life before being a Christian, before believing in Jesus as the Messiah, versus after. And he says, if anybody could be proud of his accomplishments or his, we might say, his bloodline, it was I. He had all the right family connections, honored, old, historic, going back into the Old Testament lineage and history. He was, he said, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He followed everything so strictly. He was honored. Do you remember when Stephen, the first Christian martyr, was killed, stoned to death? Who was in charge of the coats when they took their cloaks off so they could throw stones at Stephen? Who was in charge of it? Saul. Saul was there watching them stone him and approving it. And then Saul, before his name was Paul, Saul was very powerful in the whole Jewish religious system. He got permissions. He got certificates from the chief priests at the temple to persecute Christians. Now you think about that from that perspective. He's the one in charge of and chasing down the Christians. He was powerful. He had connections. He had family history. He had the bloodline, and he had the education. He was studied under some of the most famous rabbis at the time. As far as the world goes, he had it made. And remember, the Jews were an accepted religion by the Romans. And I even forgot. He was a Roman citizen above all. He was a Roman citizen. He had Roman laws protecting him. He had a high education. He had family bloodlines. He was a perfect Pharisee. The Pharisee, he had so much religious power and distinction that they gave him a certificate to go and chase out Christians. He had it all. He was successful, as the world might say. But now, Paul is suffering for Christ. Now he's a Christian. Now he is not the persecutor, but the persecuted. He is the one being persecuted for Christ. And all these things that he had lined up before, his education, his family lines, his connections in the Jewish religious system, all these things, he says, I count them as rubbish. And that is a word that's the trash of the trash. Some translations say dung heap. Some say street rubbish. Whatever that worst rubbish is, that it's only good for being burnt. That's what his past was. All his successes, all his certificates, all his notable achievements, he says, all those things are just rubbish for the sake of knowing Christ. When Paul says this, then whatever age the Christian, like us in 2023, or the Christians in 1500, or the Christians in 1000, or the Christians at 500, or the Christians here when he writes the Christians in Philippi, maybe 60 AD. Paul says this, and we read it, and we see that, you're right, Paul, we tend to pride ourselves on things that we have done that the world recognizes. But we could pile up those accomplishments. We could pile up the wealth. We could pile up our family connections, whatever we think is great. And none of that makes us righteous to God. None of that counts for anything for holiness before God. For we are all sinners, and everything we might have accomplished, it looks good on earth. It can accomplish some things on earth, but it doesn't stand before God. Paul says all this is rubbish, but for knowing Christ and what he has done. Partly what I spoke about with the children, that Jesus is everywhere, is to think in our own minds whether we're a very high estate and successful or very low situation and not successful and in the dredges. Christ is everywhere. And it doesn't matter how high we raise in this world or how low we end up being, Christ is everywhere. Whatever our status in life is, he is with us. So it's not only places like we talked about. It is those. We talked about different places with the children. But different situations in life, he can be with us. Paul is also willing to lose all these things. And he points out in those verses you may have heard, he says, for the resurrection. He says in verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead? Well, we can have all the degrees we want. We can have all the certificates we want. We can have all the best family bloodlines we want. We can have all the property we want. We can have everything we want. And our proverb goes, what are the two things everybody gets? You can count on it. Death and taxes. Well, taxes is here on earth. But the death comes. It always comes. And no matter what we accomplish ourselves in this life, that doesn't get us past death. But Paul sees this. All this stuff, it doesn't mean anything because I want and I need Jesus' resurrection. I need the power of his death and resurrection. That is what is precious. That is what I cannot lose no matter what, because nothing else gains that. And he looks forward to the resurrection. True life. Where God has purified everything, no more death or suffering or pain. True life with God and his people, his saints. Now, the little bit of rebelliousness in us or impishness in us might say, there's the little brackets on the notes, might say, then why worldly success? If all this stuff is rubbish, Paul, why should I even try? Well, God grants us success and blessings of whatever sort to what? Love our neighbor as ourself. That's what all the blessings that we are given is so that we can also share and take care of others. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. So these blessings, these successes that we have, and the world sees them as, wow, that's special. You've really attained something. And in the world's eyes, there's something there in the human understanding. But before God, this doesn't matter. Before God, what matters is Christ's righteousness through faith that I may have his righteousness. But what these things can do, and our successes and our properties and our whatever it may be, can do, is to assist others. And in that assistance of others, to give glory to God and witness to Christ. Paul's successes, his education from the finest rabbis and so forth, were rubbish, and yet God used him to write these great epistles to us. We can be blessings to one another through these things, but by themselves, they're rubbish. They don't make me righteous before God. And as a Christian, it's good to remember that over and over and over again, because every single place you look in the world, have you done this? Have you accomplished this? Have you marked up this? Have you made this much? Everything. And sometimes we feel good and sometimes we feel bad, because sometimes we make the grade and sometimes we don't. And Paul says, look to Christ and love one another. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks for the holy sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Make this every day precious in our sight, so that we don't have to worry about whether our accomplishments are good enough, but rather that Jesus has accomplished all for us, and we are your people. And thus also, with whatever we have, we can help others. In the holy name of Jesus we pray, amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.